Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5. Praise God. Praise God. Let me get your attention on the screen right up here. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, The Man of Lawlessness. The Man of Lawlessness. Friends, this part of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, Paul is going to reveal that in a future time, it's already been 2,000 years, that God was going to reveal the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the man of sin. And so many of the Thessalonians during his time thought that the end would come and Jesus would come. But little did they know that even after all the persecution, that all that they went through, the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit still comforted them. And many of them went on, as we know, went on to be with Jesus. But Paul was looking at a prophetic future time. And we're going to read this tonight, and we're going to see how this all pertains. Because right now, the days are growing evil and more darker. We see this. I want you to catch something right now, what I'm about to say. We live in a divided nation, and this nation right now is divided politically, but yet, if God has given you spiritual ears and eyes to see, this is not political. This is light against darkness. This is God versus Satan. Oh, that's right. You see, the left has an agenda. And what is that agenda? That agenda is contrary to the Word of God. The left agenda wants to murder babies in the womb. They want to promote sexual immorality. For instance, like homosexuality and also transgenderism right now that has infiltrated our nation. Bathrooms have to be rearranged. And right now we're finding out that boys or young men who claim to be transgender are going into bathrooms and raping young women. Oh yes, it's throughout the news. I'm telling you, my friends, we are living in the days that Jesus said that there would be an apostasy, that many would be leaving the church. And after COVID hit, a lot of folks have not come back to church, not just here at Amazing Grace, but everywhere. I'm here to let you know, though, that there is hope in Christ. I want you to know that in this lesson this evening, you'll understand that there is a set time, an appointed time with God, where the lawless man will be revealed. But the good news is you and I will be taken out from this world, and God will take us home to be with him, and then God will pour out his wrath. But see, here's the thing. The reason why the Antichrist, the lawless one, has not yet been revealed to us is because we have to be removed, and then he is going to deceive all those who are left behind that are living ungodly, unregenerated, have no hope. They're going to look for a man for hope where they should have looked for Jesus Christ, the only hope. Can I get an amen? And so, my friends, I've entitled this evening's message, The Man of Lawlessness. The Man of Lawlessness. Praise God. Praise God. So turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5. And so here we go. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 3 through 5. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Praise God, praise God. So, with that said, let's now go to verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Praise God, praise God. Saints, this introduces the main topic of this letter. He had already taught them, Paul taught them about the coming again of the Lord and how all believers will be gathered together to meet him. Apparently, Paul had heard further questions from these believers, and he added more details about what would happen at Christ's second coming. Also, he knew that the persecution was taking its toll on all the believers. So he wanted to teach them and encourage them. And verse 2 describes one of the false teachings about Christ's second coming. Some were saying that the day of the Lord had already began. Unfortunately, not at that time. This was 2,000 years ago. But we're seeing it now, my friends. We're seeing the apostasy. We're seeing that the church is growing cold. We're seeing that no longer are the pulpits preaching and teaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The pulpits are being silenced against sin and sexual immorality. But I'm here to let you know that there are pockets throughout the United States, and we're one of those small little churches who will preach truth, who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. Can I get amen? And so this final event of history has two aspects to it. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. Number one, the last judgment on an all evil and sin. You see, God hasn't judged it yet. Why? Because God has to remove us out of the way. And then he will pour out his wrath. Did you know that the church is not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation? We are the church. We are the ones that are born again. We repented of our sins. We were washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are filled with His Spirit of promise. And now we're heaven bound in a hell to shun. Praise God. Now we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is coming again for His church. That's why we need to be ready. We need to be in season and out of season, ready to preach, to exhort, to rebuke, hallelujah, to lift up, to edify. We need to be about our Father's business because Jesus is coming again. How many believe He's coming again? Praise God. Yes, He is. Let's look at our second point right up here. The final reward for faithful believers. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. Jesus is going to bless all the faithful believers. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that He has you and I in mind? And so everything that we do for Him here on earth, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Continue to work in His field. Continue to plow. Continue to pray and fast. Continue to lift up. Continue to exhort. Continue to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Continue to speak a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge into your brother and sister to lift them up, to edify them. Hallelujah. Pray for them that God will remove snares and traps of the enemy that sometimes He brings to them. Sometimes He brings to us. But we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get amen? We need to be men and women, hallelujah, of faith, to believe that Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, at that time, God will intervene directly and dramatically in the world affairs. Righteousness and truth will prevail, and Christ will judge sin and set up His eternal kingdom. First, there will be much suffering for evil and will climax as the end draws near. False teachers were saying that the judgment day had already began. This caused many believers during the time of Paul's day to wait expectantly for vindication and relief from suffering. These false teachers had claimed to have had a vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from Paul and his companions, apparently stating that the false teachers were teaching truth, and they weren't. They weren't, because the enemy spun it. It was a spin doctor at work, praise God. And so, saints of God, Paul doesn't identify the source of this false teaching any further. So we do not know as well. And when Christ didn't come, when suffering continued, the believers were becoming shaken and troubled. These words picture unsettled minds and continuing state of anxiety was infiltrating the church back in Thessalonica. And they certainly wondered if they had somehow missed out, or they were not going to be saved. Oh, praise God. But Paul assured them, saints, Paul assured them they should not be worried by these false teachers and should listen to him instead. Hallelujah. Paul's authority as an apostle and their relationship of trust with him should affirm that any teaching that contradicted what he had given them needed to be questioned. Praise God. And so, my friends, saints of God, Paul had shown that he would answer the Thessalonians, praise God, answer their questions directly himself, or send one of his co-workers. And at the end of this letter, Paul would sign with his own hand to authenticate this document. That's right. Paul told them plainly, my friends, that the day of the Lord had not yet come. Three other events would have to have happened. Praise God. Let's look at number one right up here. Number one, the rebellion must occur. Rebellion. Listen, there's a rebellion going on in our nation, as I just mentioned. Oh, that's right. Half of this country don't want anything to do with God. Listen, this nation was formed on Judeo-Christian, hallelujah, doctrines and teachings. That's right. Did you know that back in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, Bible was allowed to be read in public schools? And so now they got rid of the Bible. You can read any religion there except the Bible. Why? Because the Bible has the answers to man's dilemmas. See, the Bible is the only book in the whole entire world that has the entire Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. And so if we believe everything that's written, God will prove, not only prove to us who he is, but he will operate in your life. He will give you favor from on high. He will do miraculous things in your life. He will empower you by faith. And all you have to do is surrender to him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look, secondly, look at this right here. The man of lawlessness must be revealed. Must be revealed. Praise God. Praise God. You see, the reason why he hasn't been revealed yet, because the church is still here. We who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's still here. See, we have to be taken out of here. And then the world has no more excuse. They wanted us gone. They wanted us out. Now they're left to the man of perdition, the lawless one, the one that is going to eat them up and chew them up and spit them out. Oh, that's right. You think Hitler killed quite a few? Wait till this man of sin who will be revealed to the world that's left behind. He is going to do some dramatic, dastardly deeds against humanity. And there is going to be an onslaught of murder around the world. Wow. Wow. Also, my friends, let's look at this one right here. Let's look at this. Number three, the restraint of lawlessness must be removed. As I mentioned, saints of God, we're still here. We're still here. And so we have to be removed. And then he will be revealed to the world. So let's move on to number three. Here we go. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This evil man who will be filled with Satan will come, my friends. he will come and he will cause havoc in this world. You see, saints, the coming of the day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. But here's the good news, my friends. It won't be a thief in the night to us. Why? Because we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are looking for his return. We know that time is running out. So as far as the church is concerned, we know he's coming again. It's those in church that are never been born again, who are playing church and not the church, and those who are outside of the church who have no regard for the things of God. When Jesus comes again, he will come like a thief in the night. Oh, that's right. And they're going to be shocked. Mankind will be shocked. Look, we read about it in 1 Thessalonians. Let's go here. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as what? A thief in the night. Praise God. Praise God. But not to you and I. So saints, even so, certain events will precede this event. The final day of the Lord will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. This rebellion will be a massive revolt against God. It may begin among those who believe in God and spread to all people who refuse to accept Christ. Oh, that's right. They started well, but they didn't end well. Thus, it will include Jews and who abandon God, and some members of the church whose faith is nominal. And while rebellion against God seems widespread, even today, as the coming of Christ nears, this apostasy and active saints of God, opposition against God, will intensify. Oh yes, look what the enemy did. The enemy allowed COVID to come, and it has scattered many in the church. Many won't come back. Many are fearful. Many don't want a fellowship no more. Many would rather just stay home and maybe watch a sermon. But this is what the enemy has planned. And God already saw it coming. Praise God. And so, my friends, during the rebellion, a remarkable man will come into public. He'll come into public view. And he will have considerable power from Satan himself, who will personify evil. And throughout history, certain individuals have epitomized and evil and had been hostile to everything Christ stands for. You probably know people like that, praise God. But look what John wrote when he was on the island of Patmos. Look what he wrote. Let's go here for a moment. Look at this so we can be reminded. In 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last what? The last hour. My friends, we are in that last hour. Praise God. Look at what it says here in 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Let me just pause there. Look at Hitler, Mussolini. Look at all these evil men that have been raised up to come against God's people and against the Jews. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's already here. But the one man will be revealed. But praise God, we don't have to be here to see him, because God's going to take us home. Praise God. Let's look at another verse of scripture right here. Look at this. And 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So there's many. There were many. And saints, these antichrists have lived in every generation, and others like them will continue to work their evil. Then just before Christ's second coming, the man of lawlessness, a completely evil man, will arise. He will be Satan's tool, equipped with Satan's power. And this man will oppose all law, both God's moral laws as well as civil laws. He will promote immorality and anarchy. The lawless man will be the Antichrist. He will have been in the world, but then he will rise to power and notoriety, shown by the word revealed. Revealed. That's right. And so the book of Revelation speaks of a beast that symbolizes the Antichrist. Let's look at this for a moment. It's right here in the Word of God. In Revelations 13, 5 through 8, and he was given a mouth, speaking great blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Praise God. Then he opened his mouth. Look at this. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Look at this in verse 7 and 8. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, the beast symbolizes the Antichrist, not Satan, but someone under Satan's power and control. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this in this verse of scripture in Revelation 16, 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Look what it also says in Revelation 19, 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Let me just say this. This mandate that's taking place right now in our nation, it's a prelude. It's an introduction on controlling the masses. Why? Because if they can convince the nation to mandate these vaccinations by force or lose your job, they're using so many manipulative ways to convince you to take this mandate. What about when the real deal comes? The chip. Where without the chip, you cannot buy or sell. According to the Word of God, those who take the mark of the beast will revoke their salvation, and they will be sent to hell. Wow. Wow, my friends. It's a real deal with God, isn't it? That's right. And so we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be mindful in the days that we live in. And so these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, the false prophet and the Antichrist. Saints, evil will culminate in a final Antichrist, a man who will focus all the powers of evil against Jesus Christ and his followers, bringing destruction. Yet even this man, who all the power that he will attain, is ultimately doomed to destruction. Praise God. And we see this right here in Revelations 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever. Wow! Wow! Aren't you so blessed, saints, to know that one day, soon and very soon, all this evil madness will be done away with? But God is saying, hang on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Listen, Satan's coming at the church with vengeance right now. He's trying to destroy marriages. He's trying to destroy families. He's trying to get you to take drugs and alcohol to numb out the pain. He is splitting things up. He's coming to divide. He's already divided the nation. And listen, if he can divide the household, then he has the church. But I'm here to let you know that if God be for you, who could be against you? This is the time to rise up. This is the time to let your light shine so bright. This is the time, hallelujah, to go before the throne room of grace to seek his face, and that we would turn from our wicked ways, and that we would call upon the name of the Lord, that God would show great and mighty things, that we can have a revival in our church, in our land, and that men and women would be saved until he returns, and he's returning soon, saints of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, saints, God still reigns, and his victory is certain. The evil man will be destroyed, but not before God uses him. During this time of great rebellion, the full extent of wickedness will be demonstrated, and rebellion against God, and will be shown in all, hallelujah, hallelujah, in all its horror and ugliness. And although, saints of God, always through all suffering throughout ages, God is drawing people to himself. Aren't you so blessed? He's calling us. He's calling men and women to repent. This will continue during what? The last days. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now, let's go now and finish this off in verse 4 and 5. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you about these things? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Saints, this man of lawlessness will attempt and even will seem to be able to dethrone God and anything else that is worship, idols, nature itself, and then will demand worship and obedience to himself alone. But you and I, we won't be here, praise God, because we'll know that our allegiance and our faithfulness is to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to a man, praise God. But those who do not know God will be duped. They'll be deceived. Oh, yes, many of them will be deceived. Saints, he phrased position himself in the temple of God, pictures one who proclaims that he himself is God. And many have claimed such allegiance throughout history. Roman rulers, various political leaders, and many have pointed out by others as being the Antichrist. But this one human will come and will be the final decisive personification of lawlessness, evil, and rebellion against God. Oh, that's right. And this description of the man of lawlessness is similar to the description of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was predicted in Daniel. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this for a moment as we come in for a close. Let's look at this. Then the king shall be according to his own will. In Daniel 11, 36 through 37, he shall exalt himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither God or his fathers, look at this, of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's right. Saints, it also refers to the sacrilegious object noted in the book of Mark. That's right. Let's look at Mark right here for a moment. Look at this. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, Jesus said. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, praise God. And let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his garment. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. And verse 19, for in those days there will be tribulation, such has not been from the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Wow. Wow, saints of God. This refers to the desecration of the temple by God's enemies through pagan idolatry and sacrifice. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, you have to look back to look ahead. And if you look here at Deuteronomy right here, for you know that we dwell in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols, which were what? Among them, wood, stone, silver, and gold. Look at this. So that there may not be among you any man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. And there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Wow. Wow, saints of God. Listen, it's throughout the Old Testament that was looking at our day, because this nation has turned. Many have turned to idols and to worship ungodly things. Look what it says here real quick as we come in for a close in 2 Kings 16 through 4. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, indeed made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations from the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. These were all types, hallelujah, all types, saints of God, of Antichrist, back then and even today. And the first fulfillment of such an abomination occurred in 168 BC. Yes, right. He sacrificed a pig to Zeus on the sacred temple. And this act incited the Maccabeans' war. The second fulfillment occurred when Jesus' prediction of the destruction of the temple that we just read in Mark. Well, let me just show this again. Look at this. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Wow. Wow, my friends. All this in AD 70, the Roman army would destroy Jerusalem and desecrate the temple. And some scholars say that a third fulfillment is yet to come. This may look for far forward to the end times, to the Antichrist. And in the end times, the Antichrist will commit the ultimate sacrilege by setting himself, perhaps as having a statue erected to be worshipped by him. Oh, that's right. Look what it says here in Revelations 13, 14. "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." Wow. Wow. Saints, apparently Paul had taught the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ. And at the end times, either they had forgotten his teaching or false teachers had been confusing them. But we know, my friends, Jesus is coming again. Well, that's right. Look. Look at these clouds right behind me. He's coming again in the clouds. That's right. Before this man of sin can be revealed, God is going to take us home. And he is going to allow the angels to blow the shofar. And all the believers around the world will hear the shofar. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Hello, how many can't wait for that time? It's here. It's upon us. It's soon and very soon. Jesus is coming again. That's right. And it's going to go like this. Look at this. "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Wow. The greatest event is about to take place. You and I will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's faster than the speed of light. And we will be blessed with our brand new bodies. Oh, that's right. You see, this body of flesh, it cannot live in heaven. We are bound here to the law of gravity in these bodies of flesh. But we're going to have a body that's not bound by gravity. It'll be brand new. It'll never die. It'll never grow old. We will be with the King forevermore. How many of you can't wait for that moment? Oh, that's right. So this is the greatest event that is yet to come. And it's almost here. It's almost here. Let's look at this right here. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. It's almost here. It's almost here. Now, my friends, I'm pleading with those who maybe just logged on, who maybe are listening right now, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You never repented of your sins. You never cried out and asked God for forgiveness of your sins. You never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You never been filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of promise. My friends, I'm going to give you in just a moment an opportunity to receive Jesus so that you could rest assured that your faith and your confession to the Lord Jesus Christ will seal the deal. But until then, if that never takes place in your life, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week. Or he could even come.
Wow. Every time I see this video, I'm reminded of God's grace, of God's mercy, that God is faithful. To those who are His, the Bible's clear. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life." And for those of us that are born again of the Spirit of God, we hear His voice. But maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to Christ who has logged in. Peter the Apostle preached his very first sermon, and what he said still pertains today regarding repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn toward the living God and ask God to forgive you. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed? Huh? Are you so blessed, saints of God, that you have given your heart to Jesus? For me, it's been 32 years. I gave my heart to Jesus 32 years, and He still lives inside me. And He still blesses my life. But I want to give you that opportunity. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would bow your head and your heart. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family who has logged in to pray for you, as we give God glory and honor for this day. So if you've never given your heart, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Somebody just gave their heart to Jesus. And if that's you, down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our email and phone number is on our website. We'd love to put a Bible in your hand and give it to you as a gift, and also lead you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, I am so thankful that you allowed me to come into your living rooms this evening. I'm looking forward to Sunday morning at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. It's a live in-house service, and we have a special guest musician coming to play. His name is Brother Andre Monari, and we're looking forward to him leading worship. Our worship leader, Brother Josh, he's on vacation. He's celebrating his birthday, I believe, is in Mazatlan. And so pray for him and his wife and his child to have a wonderful time. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we want to send our benediction before we sign off. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so we are mighty thankful that you logged in. We're looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10:30. So God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.